I have a friend whom her dad unfortunately passed away about 2 months ago, and we were at her house this past weekend, and we were all in like the living room, kitchen area. Everyone who was in the house was in the same room. There was nobody else in the house besides the five or six people that were there. And we all heard when the front door of the house opened and closed, but we didn't really register the sound until somebody pointed out, like, who just came in. And we all kind of looked at each other like, yeah, we all heard that. We all heard the front door open and close. So they were expecting another person to arrive. So they went to go check if maybe that was the person who arrived, but there was no one outside. There were no vehicles besides the ones that, you know, we came in. But we all clearly heard when the front door opened and closed as if someone either went outside or came inside. And we all kind of looked at each other, and I feel like we all thought the same thing, that it could have been possibly my friend's dad who had, I don't know, maybe come in to hang out with us. But no one really said it. And when we were driving home, my husband and I, we kind of had that conversation. I'm like, do you really think it was so-and-so? I won't say his name, but and my husband's like, yeah, I thought the same thing, but I didn't want to freak anybody out.
Yeah, if you talk to almost anybody who's experienced a death around them, I don't want to just say in a family, but around them, you hear stories like this. It's very common. Sometimes the pain is so raw and so real at that moment in time, though, it's not necessarily something that they want to talk about. It can be a very personal experience when someone you care about makes another comeback, if you will, or a message of some sort is relayed that they are okay, they're on the other side. Something so convincing, something so unique to them or to a location that you know there's no conceivable way this event could have occurred without some sort of outside influence. And if no living person did it, and we have a dead person who used to be here quite often, well, that seems to be the only possible logical explanation for what influenced the situation. It happens. It happens quite often. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we hear many stories about the dead coming back, including stories about people who have had impacts on our lives. And maybe the relationship wasn't so tight in life at the end. Maybe so much so that if you saw the person on the street, they may not come over to you and even say hi. But maybe you still had a fondness for them. You still knew the impact that they had on you, even though they may not be aware of it until death. At that point, it seems sometimes all of the clouds are lifted and all of that human pettiness, that human angst that we sometimes feel against one another, sometimes it seems to be lifted and the message of I'm okay over here comes through. We have that story. We also hear the story of an individual that no matter how far they try and get away from that haunted house that they grew up in, they keep coming back. And those spirits, they're still there. And they even take road trips with you. So there's really no getting away from the haunted house. What do you do then? Is it only appropriate to try and make peace with these spirits? To try and find a solution? How does one handle that? We have a great long story about that on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. So sit back, relax. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. I guess an interesting way to sum up living a haunted life is saying life is crazy. Especially when those around you look at you who don't know you and say, you are crazy. For recounting the experiences that you have on a regular basis with the undead. Life can certainly be very crazy, especially when you see ghosts, hear them, when you sense them. Quite often when we have stories of ghosts, the individual sharing the story is very sensitive to them, and others around them oftentimes don't experience them to the level that they do. Maybe a little bit here and there, but it's rare to have a haunting case where everyone and anyone around also experience it. When you're super sensitive and you're in these situations, it's like turning the volume up to 10. While everyone else that's experiencing it, maybe getting it at a 2 or a 3, you're at a 10, no matter what. It serves to offer a little more validity to your situation, more believability when others can corroborate what is going on, which can feel good, makes you feel not so crazy. If others can say, yes, I felt that too, I saw that too, you are not crazy. But it still can make you feel that way. It can make you at least feel that life is that way, when these things seem to follow you no matter where you go, from house to house, place to place, never quite finding peace away from the ghosts. In our next story, that's exactly what the author has experienced throughout their life, as they recount a very detailed, haunted life. Take a listen. I was born in 1991 in Central Florida to a family that built and owned their own house near Mount Plymouth, Florida. I currently live once again on the same property in my own home. The property has my family home, as well as my current home on it, since it's a large piece of land. My bachelor's are in criminal justice, my minor in psychology, and I have some graduate work in the field of criminal psychology. My family looks to me as the most reasonable and level-headed of our group. I've always been trying to explain things, always in life like a breeze, sleight of hand, mentally exhausted, etc. I'm not prone to being emotional because I think it leads to bad decisions and regret. I think that mental hygiene is just as important as physical hygiene. I don't drink. I've never used drugs besides the honorary joint tried at a lame high school party. Sadly, I'm not the life of the party. My family is superstitious, but I've never let it rub off on me, besides never lying my shoes on a table and carefully choosing your words when talking about the dead. We're an extremely devout Christian family. I was even abstinent until I was married. My faith changed shape to more of a spiritual avenue when I divorced my husband. I still live by the "what would Jesus do" thought process. I think it's a great compass for our lives. But with these wild events and my rough path that we won't get into, I realize that perhaps religion was something else entirely, and I just don't know what. All the town's information that I'm going to share was relayed to me by individuals in the town whose roots go deeper than the first well and the local town chamber of commerce. The town I live in was at one point home to a large plantation with over 40 slaves. The area once had a lake and was very prosperous for agriculture. When slavery was banned in the United States, there's a tale I've yet to find evidence to corroborate of massive killing of the African Americans who called this place home so that others could come and live here. I do not know if it's true, but these are the stories that I was told by older individuals in the community. They've even said that there were bones found in the woods nearby that were believed to be a slave cemetery. When I was born, my mother attributed my infancy to screaming in my crib until I was near another person to my poor health as an infant. When I was able to speak at 1 year of age, my mother began to understand that I was terrified of the darkness in my nursery and put in a nightlight. It helped for a little while until I was able to begin to tell her that I was afraid of something in my room. She'd ask me what it was, and I told her it was there, and I was scared, and that was the only way I could describe it. Ever since being a child, my room has always had a light in it just enough for me and just bright enough for me to identify items and people because of this house. Growing up, when I was in the house, I always felt as if someone was always towering over me, glaring down at me like I had done something wrong. But everywhere I looked, there was no one there. When I was about 4 or 5 years old, I woke up one night and my room was pitch black. I remember sitting up and looking to where my doorway would be to see the light coming from beneath the door so that I could make my way to the light switch, and even that was black. I even slept with a nightlight on, all along with the radio station, and thought that the power must have gone out. As I live in a rural area, it wasn't very uncommon for it to happen. I crawled out of bed and went to cross the room to go find my mother when I realized there was light coming underneath the closet door in my room. When I went and opened the closet door, there was no light and blackness again, as if someone shut off a light switch. My closet did not have a light in it. I began to panic and somehow made it to my bedroom door and yanked it open, only to have the hallway light nearly blind me. None of the lights in the home were out, and when I returned to my room by my mother crying, my nightlight was on, and the radio was softly playing. I still have no idea what could have possibly happened. I remember being fully awake because my heart was pounding. And that's where we're going to pause it, the preview portion of Real Ghost Stories Online. This story goes on quite a bit further, digging deep into this life of a haunting, where the ghosts, yeah, they follow, and they even bring the living back to them. You don't want to miss the rest of it. Also, we're going to talk about a case where an individual who had an impact on one's life passes on, returning after their passing. The relationship was at odds at the end as well, so it's kind of surprising that they came back. It makes us kind of re-examine some things of, in death, do those clouds of animosity lift? We'll talk about that too. If you want to hear the full story, sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. Just go to our website at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all 275 bonus episodes, jam-packed with the best ghost stories you will ever hear. You also get access to our regular episodes weeks before they go public, and they're commercial-free. So you can binge away on everything right there for you. All commercial free. Check it out. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening.